I'd like to start off with a story before I go into it, but of course that's going to be the topic of my sermonette today. I won't tell you the title yet, because that'll ruin it, but it's an unknown author. So, once upon a time, it was announced that the devil was going out of business and would sell all his equipment to those who were willing to pay the price. On the big day of the sale, all his tools were attractively displayed. There were envy, jealousy, hatred, malice, deceit, sensuality, pride, idolatry, and other implements of evil display. Each of the tools was marked with its own price tag. Over in the corner by itself was a harmless-looking wedge-shaped tool, very much worn, but still it bore a higher price than any of the others. Someone asked the devil what it was, and he answered, "That is discouragement." The next question came quickly, "And why is it priced so high, even though it is plain to see that it is worn more than these others?" "Because," replied the devil, "it is more useful to me than all these others. I can pry open and get into a man's heart with that which, when I cannot get near with any other tool. Once I get inside, I can use him in whatever way suits me best. It is worn well because I use it on everybody I can, and few people even know it belongs to me." This tool was priced so high that no one could buy it, and to this day it has never been sold. It still belongs to the devil, and he still uses it on mankind. As you can see from this story, it is very easy for Satan to take advantage of its situation, making one feel depressed, helpless, sometimes even wanting to throw in the towel and giving up. So how many of us have been in a situation like that? We can really get discouraged sometimes, can't we? We may not want to deal with the problems we have, and we may want to run away from them and do nothing to solve them. But this is not what we are supposed to do. Well, we're supposed to do quite the opposite. We can't let Satan take over and discourage us, but we're supposed to confront the problems the way God wants us to. There are many examples in the Bible of individuals who were discouraged, but God was always there to guide them and give them strength, just like he's there for us every time we are in need. I want to start off in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. Read, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" God repeats many times to be strong and of good courage. But he isn't just talking to Joshua here. He's also talking to you and me. When we are discouraged, we are also fearful. But we must control fear and not have fear control us. In Hebrews, we read about those who lived by faith rather than fear. I'll quickly go over that in Hebrews 11. Start off. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 8. We start off by reading about the faith that Abraham had. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Skipping to verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons by Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning to his bones. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should not touch them, or should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Why did I read through all of these things? Obviously, all these examples can be applied in our lives. Through faith, every one of these people, they had the faith to continue, to be strong. Just like when we're in a situation like that, we have to do the same thing. Don't ever think that we are alone. These people had tremendous courage, which is the opposite of discouragement. Yes, they were discouraged at times, and they endured their fair share of trials, but they conquered fear, and they conquered Satan by following God and believing Him. So the same applies for us when we are discouraged. And what are we supposed to do in a situation like that? How can we overcome discouragement? I just mentioned that earlier. We can't have Satan control us, but we must conquer him. James chapter 4, verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We have to reject our own carnal, selfish nature that is within us. Verse 9 refers to those who constantly sin, and they laugh about it, thinking it's no big deal. And mourning can also be associated with fasting. When you do a sin, obviously you have to pray and fast about it and ask for forgiveness. When we do that, we will then resist the devil and he will flee from us. We also go through trials that we must conquer, and we get through our trials with faith. Obviously, I just gave you the examples of several individuals in the Bible who overcame their trials with faith, and they were all human, just as we are all human. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Our patience may be tested at times to see if we will remain faithful, especially when our desired answer doesn't come right away. And there are many things that we desire. There's a lot of things that I desire. And if something doesn't happen right away, doesn't mean I'm going to give up, although it is difficult because you just don't know when something's going to happen. But if it doesn't happen, we know that God is doing that for a reason. Just like we do not know when Christ will return. If we knew when Christ would return, then we would actually live our lives differently, wouldn't we? Let's say if he would return in a couple of years, we probably wouldn't want to worry about school, worry about work, and worry about the things that we worry about every day, right? But that's done for a specific reason. God does that so we can live our lives the way we should. Because we do not know when Christ will return, and that's a tremendous patience on our part. Because we have that patience, we'll be all right if we do the right thing. We must continually ask God of his spirit and wisdom in our life. And we do that by praying. If we don't continue to pray and don't study, then we will easily become discouraged because we don't ask and we don't show God that we have faith. And we obviously wouldn't be part of our lives anymore. That kind of discouragement could easily bring us to the point of giving up. John 15, verse 4, I'll just read that. You can turn if you like there. John verse 15, verse 4 and 5, chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's very important that we have Christ in our lives, and we must imitate him. That is, to live our lives the way he wants us to, the way he did, by keeping all of God's laws, all his commands, with faith and with love. The final scripture I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Pretty much describes a review of the sermonette. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Whenever you feel discouraged, always remember who is there for you, who knows all that you go through. Remain faithful and continue to do God's will, remembering that all things are possible, for God cannot be limited. You are not alone. When one struggles, we all struggle. When one of us is in pain, we all feel that pain, and we all pray together. Even though we get discouraged sometimes, which is just another trial we go through, God knows about it. And as we overcome them, as difficult as it may be, He promises blessings beyond our imagination. So the next time you feel discouraged about a trial you're going through, try to become encouraged, because it is yet another trial that God is allowing in our lives for our own benefit, another test that we can surely pass, bringing us even closer to the promises that He has in store for us.